It was. Great job. Great report, young ladies, on the night. It was a great night for all ages, everyone who participated. And we'll be doing it again. It's like, I think the host homes enjoyed it more than the people who went to the host homes. So it was a blast. It really was. And also, we've asked you guys about giving for the Ukraine. I'm wearing blue this morning in honor of the Ukraine. I don't have anything yellow, or I would wear it too. Barbara, you can come stand by me and I would be the Ukraine colors. You gave amazing, right? And it's not over. We've already sent them a check for $3,000. We'll be sending more to come because it's a few people that haven't been able to give yet. So you can still give. Just mark on your envelope, on your check, on Secure Give, wherever you do it, Ukraine. We will make sure every penny goes to them. And it's doing great things. You keep seeing, and I do too. There's people that are hungry over there. I don't care what side they're on, they're hungry. And just a few dollars will feed them for a week because they haven't eaten in days. So it's a big deal, giving them homes, giving them a place for hope, because we know peace is coming. It's just right now it's still a war. And, of course, we have a hard time understanding that, right? I mean, some of y'all's stomach, you feel like you're at a war, but you're probably not. It's probably just your stomach. That was funny. There's a war going on inside. Hey, we're talking about the shame-free gospel. And today was really, really a big deal because I'm glad we sang so many songs about faith. Because this week, beginning next week, we're going to do it again. Did you ever notice what they called, when God told Abraham, when he told Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were going to the promised land. And you do realize that a promise is something that hasn't happened yet in the physical. Like, it's faith. It's faith. You don't... A promise is for what's going to happen. It's faith, right? It's the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And guys, I want to talk to you today about faith, because without faith, there is no Christianity, right? There's no Jesus relationship. It's all based on faith. And today we're going to talk about faith. But I want to remind you of some things we've been talking about in the shame-free gospel. One is, you guys may remember this day if you were here. It says this is a teacher's poster. It says, chase the why of the behavior. Chase the why of the behavior. And we think of children, you think of raising children, but what about in your life? What about the last time you said, well, they just made me mad. They frustrated me. See, there's a why behind that. There's a why. There's always a why. And I believe in our lives, it's the very heart of the gospel is the reality. There's always a reason. There's a reason for everything. And we, in our world, we don't want to realize that. We want to be victims. Guys, Jesus set us all free. There's not a victim. You're free. But there's always a why. And I think that I just wanted to remind you of that. And also after that, I don't know if you remember this. A couple of weeks ago, I put up the warning signs. What's the most dangerous thing on the planet of Earth? Self-life. Life lived independent of God. Self-sustaining. Self-promoting, the self-life. And that's what we talked about a few weeks ago. I went into great detail about it. It was what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. They took it upon themselves, believed the lie of Satan, and thought they could become like God by doing what Satan told them, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know why they wanted to eat of that tree? Because, you know, this is, you know, in our logical minds, this is true. Well, if you just know what's wrong and you don't do that, you'll be fine. Really? Really? I mean, honestly, how's that working out for you? Right? Well, I'm free. I'm free. I can stop any behavior, any emotion. I can stop that war going on in my stomach or the pain in my back. I'm free. Really? You see, we are free, but we need to go a step deeper. We need to quit living so shallow and admit it. Guys, there's always a reason if there's something going on in your life. If there's emotions you can't control, if there's anger seeping out of you everywhere, if there's all these other issues, there's a reason. It's the very heart of the gospel is the fact that if you abide in the vine, you'll have life. But guys, I think sometimes we forget about faith. It's all by faith. I'm glad we sang the songs we sang today. It's funny how that works out a lot. A lot of times the main thing God's put on my heart to say, this worship team will sing it over and over and over again. It's like, do you get it yet? He's the way maker. You depend upon Him. And the promises. And we want to live by this world we live in. So the self-life's a big deal. You know, this is what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says. Do not love the world. Now, he's talking figuratively here. And that word, the love, is agape, which a foundational truth about agape love, God's love, is God wants us to depend upon Him for all those needs we have. And the devil wants us to depend upon him for all the needs we have. And John, the apostle that Jesus loved, John said, guys, when you depend upon things in the world to make you, give you comfort, to give you status, to give you all the needs we have, they're real needs. When you depend upon those things, the love of the Father is not in you. Anyone who loves the world, you see, for God, it's about idols. In the old days, they would worship idols because if you worship this idol, it'll give you physical strength. If you worship this idol, it'll give you wisdom. If you worship this idol, they'll give you profitable crops and a harvest in the right time. And so they worshiped and they gave themselves to these idols instead of God. And God is very, very clear that when you worship idols, something happens that you don't like. You see, because the people who, in our lives, I don't want this to be disengaged from us. Because guys, we all struggle with something. We all are fighting battles. And who do you look to? Where does your help come from? Does it come from objects in this world? Does it come from finances? Does it come from physical security? Does it come from physical health? One of the greatest battles you'll ever face, that anyone ever faces, is chronic pain. Pain you can't make go away. Pain that medicine can't help. You see, and you know what's wrong with chronic pain? It's not the pain, it's the hopelessness that builds up inside that you don't ever think it'll go. See, you're okay as long as you have hope. But if you don't have hope, you're not okay. And you see, chronic pain is one of those things that drives us to hopelessness. Is Jesus, is he big enough? Is he powerful enough to walk in that water? It's great to sing a song about him splitting the sea. Is there any water? How'd that verse go? There's no sea that he can't split. Unless it's yours, then maybe he can't split it. Maybe he can't split your sea. You see, but he can. But it takes faith. I think most of us are so integrated into the concreteness of our world that we don't want to live by faith. We live by fact. You know? Is that loud? It wasn't that loud to me. I don't have my hearing aids on, so I'm like, what just happened? It's how we live, though, right? Well, Alan, don't walk out past the edge. You're going to fall flat on your face. That's the concrete world. That's where we're raised. That's how we think. Or are you going to be a person of faith? Don't love the world. And I said this statement a few weeks ago. The harvest you're reaping reveals the seed that was planted. There's no shame in it to know that there's a weed growing in your garden. If you have a garden, guess what? You have weeds. I'm a gardener. I pick them. They're magic. They come back. I'm serious. I tried to get one of those things with a little yellow flower on it. Crabgrass? Is that what that thing is? It has a root about 14 inches long. And the top's like that big, and I cannot pull it. It'll be back. The top of it's gone. It'll be back this week. I pulled it 2 days ago. I didn't get the root. You see, there's nothing wrong with my garden. It just has weeds. And guys, if there's a weed growing there, there's a root. There's a seed causing the weed. And that's the part of the gospel that's so beautiful. He's beautiful because he'll never leave you in the dark. He promises you. And you know what a promise is, right? It's something that's coming. It's faith. Why do you give to the church? Why do you tithe? You live by faith. I give, I serve, I love, I serve God, I worship Him. Are you worshiping God only because of what He's given you, or are you worshiping Him because of what's coming? At worship the other night, Thursday night, I was up here worshiping, and just a handful of people, and it was hard, you know, it was a hard worship. And I saw, that's not my phone, is it? I turned mine off. I usually can't hear that, but David O'Neill and I have the same ringtone, the same alarm. We say that on our phone, it's like, are we old people or what? Andy Griffith, who else has that ringtone? Hi, David. Oh, Rick Halter, me, Rick, and David. Nobody under 60 ever has that ringtone. But, you know, the truth is, do you live by faith or by sight? Are you worshiping God after the fact or before the fact? Now, I want to talk about that today because it's the promised land. Jesus, there is a promised land. Egypt is a great picture of self-life. Next week, we're going to look at Genesis, end of Genesis, Exodus. We're going to talk about that because I think it's a perfect picture. Of course, the Lord wrote it. The children of Israel and what happened in Egypt is a perfect picture of what happens to us. You know, we hate that stuff. We really do. Okay, here's the next verse. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus, right? Capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's interesting how you can be with and are at the same time. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life. You know why there was life in Him? Because He was with God. Read it. Pay attention. Meditate on the Scripture. And you'll see, wait a second. Jesus, why did you have life? Why was there life in you? He told you. With God. With God. You know what the heart of the gospel is? With God. What about the rest of it? With God. It's about your relationship with Him. The more you're with Him, the more you shine. The more you're with Him. You know, I remember the night we were in worship, right? I'll start to tell you that story. It's really true. It just shook the foundation of my life. Have you experienced pain in your life? I mean, not physical pain. I mean, the physical pain, yeah, that's real for everybody. But have you experienced that emotional pain on the inside? Broken heart? Disappointment? Hurting? You know, that kind of pain? Like the pain you had when you were 14 and your mom wouldn't let you go to the movies and it just killed you. It was worse than death. Okay, we talk about that with little kids. I mean, I watch it with some of you now. It's like if you don't get your sucker, you're just going to throw a hissy fit, right? Well, it's true. That kind of pain is real. Have you ever had pain in your heart, real pain? And then you've come face to face with Jesus. He touched you. He embraced you. He spoke to you. He revealed Himself to you. And you felt nothing but love. It's an unbelievable experience. It overpowers the concrete world we live in. I'm telling you, if you never experienced that, you need to get on it. Maybe you need to get in trouble so you can experience that, but I don't know, right? But you need to experience that, and you need to experience it a lot. So I'm at worship Thursday night, and it was hard worship. And then it's like, I really can't say this happens to me sometimes. I don't get it. But it's like I can see into the spirit realm the same as I see into you guys, right? And so I see Stephen. Remember Stephen in the Bible? The deacon who took care of widows and orphans. He wasn't a bigwig. He wasn't Peter. Wasn't John. Wasn't Philip. Bartholomew. He was none of those guys. He was Stephen. He was a deacon, which means he served. they didn't have social services. So if a woman's husband died, her children and her starved to death. That was just what happened. Widows, no SSI, no nothing. And the church would take care of those kind of people, people with those needs, right? And Stephen was one of the guys. He was a faithful servant, and he served. And then he also talks, and he's telling them about Jesus, and the Jewish leaders, the Jewish power, the Jewish authority get real upset, and literally they became enraged, and it began a riot. And Stephen keeps talking. And I saw him in my mind. I saw him on the streets in Jerusalem, which I've never been there, but I saw him. And when I saw him, I didn't just see a Bible character. I saw a man who, in my mind, I don't know if this was true, but he has a family. He's a husband. He's a dad. And he knows what's happening. He sees the rage. He sees them picking up stones. He knows what's happening. And he doesn't run. He doesn't do anything to deal with the physical reality of his world. But he looks into heaven. He says, God, I worship you. But Stephen, what about your family? You're about to leave your children forever in a hard place. What about your wife? What about the pain? And I saw Stephen. He looked up into heaven. And he remembered God promised him, Jesus promised him, if he would follow him, he would have life and kingdom would come on earth. And Stephen looked into heaven, and that connection he had with God overpowered everything in the real world. Well, and wasn't it cool how God saved him? God didn't save him. He had something bigger than physical life. He trusted Jesus. He really trusted him. You know, sometimes when you get your back against the wall, when we get our backs against the wall, all of a sudden the word Jesus slips out of our lips. And you know what? He comes. And there's nothing in this world can compare with what I saw happen between Stephen and Jesus Thursday night. It's like, God, there's something greater than the suffering we go through. And his name's Jesus. There's something more valuable than all the gold in the world. His name's Jesus. And is real. He's more real than whatever pain you're carrying in your heart right now. He's greater than any need. He's the source of everything. And so he says that in him. The harvest you reap reveals a seed that was planted. Guys, Jesus is greater than whatever's going on. And then in Galatians 6, I read this a couple weeks ago. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. He's true. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. That's not a punishment. It's a loving statement. It's love. What's going to guarantee the outcome of your life is your relationship with Jesus. You see, in our world, we want to tell people to get a good education, work hard, do all these things, be this, be that, and you'll have a great life. That's loving concrete things of this world. That guarantees nothing. But Jesus' promise is come follow me. And I'll give you life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's funny that, and you read that, it goes on, it says, if you plant corrupt seeds of self-life, that means if the flesh God has given us is made for worship, it's made for trust, it's made for love, it's made for relationship. Look at, I almost embarrassed myself, but anyway, you know, it's made for that. I wanted to tell you something really funny, but I can't. It's so funny. Have you ever gone to Home Depot? Any of you ever gone to Home Depot? Yeah, go to Home Depot. Go down to about the, I don't know what aisle, like the sixth aisle or something. It's an electrical supply aisle, right? And extension cords have one end you plug into the wall and the other end you can plug something into. Well, if you have to buy those, go down that aisle, find them in the aisle, and then read what the label says on there, how you can tell the difference between the two. That's all I got to say about that. It's embarrassing if you have your 14-year-old granddaughter with you and she asks questions. I'm like, I don't know why the electricians named them that. That's what they're called. So anyway, there. I said I didn't embarrass myself. I feel better now. I didn't actually say the word. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, if you have a relationship with God, guess what you will get? Beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And then just like there was life in Jesus, there will be life in you. It's the same thing that Pastor Tim said when we did the transition. Guys, we carry it. We're carriers. You carry it. You know what you carry to work? Something greater. I don't care how big the sea is that's standing in front of you. The life inside of you can split the sea, can walk on the water, can calm the storm, can call down fire from heaven and clouds from the earth. The fire inside of you, because the life in you comes from Him, and He's unstoppable. How do we forget that? Well, but my problems are bigger than Jesus. So were Stephen's, and guess what? Oh, Lord, you should have seen His face. You should have seen His face. If you would have seen His face, you'd want what He had. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was in charge of Stephen's stoning. He was called Saul then. Yeah, Paul that wrote over half the New Testament. And you know what the Bible says? Saul was standing there organizing and approving of the stoning. Saul made the mistake of looking in Stephen's face. He could never forget what he saw. And it changed his life a billion times over. Guys, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you in the midst of your storm. That's why I made that little smart aleck remark about maybe you need some hard times. Because the truth is, Jesus will be there. Most of us have to find something hard before we'll turn our face to Him. It's more beautiful when you turn your face to Him in the middle of your blessings. And Jesus will stand up. He'll stand up and He'll lock eyes with you. And when He does, your life will be different. You can expect. You will reap. It's a promise. It's a promise. You believe it by faith. You believe it more than you believe the world. You believe the promises of God greater than the concrete facts of what's standing around you. And when you believe that, He says, don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. Don't allow that, because seeds take time to harvest. Seeds take time to grow. Seeds don't come instantly. If it was instant, it wouldn't be a promise. It's better trusting Him than trusting the ways of the world. And He says, for the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. And guys, our season isn't limited to these few decades we live here on earth. Our season goes on forever. And you get to experience the reality, which is spiritual, even if the external hasn't changed. That's a promise. And it's standing by faith. So what I want to talk about is with God. You see, when I talk about the gospel, I talk about connecting with Jesus. I talk about communion. We talk about communion all the time. It's with God. Do what you do with God. Now, I just looked at Peter Baker. If you drive a train, drive it with God. Right? With God. If you parent, parent with God. I guarantee you, if you're parenting with God, you'll think twice before you cuss your three-year-old. Oh, Jesus, should I just rip my three-year-old's face off and call them nasty names? Probably He'll give you power to not do that. Do it with Him. when you go to work. I don't have to tell you not to steal or not to embezzle. Not if you're living with him. Now, if you're living by yourself, you will steal, you will embezzle, you will cheat, you will lie. You will get discouraged. You will be depressed. You will be angry. But if you do it with him, there's a promise. He promises you good will come in due season. He's not promising you that you'll be a multi-billionaire. He promises you something greater than that. I don't want to be limited to the physical realities of this world. I mean, I know, I was looking at me and Marceline don't, because you know what? I'm getting older. My body is not the same as it was when I was 18. Thank God. You know? No, I have something greater than physical power. It's yeah, Philip, you should have said amen too. Everybody over 60 should say amen. There's something greater than physical power. And you will figure that out with God. Everything is with him. So today, that's all I want to talk about. And I'm going to end here. So I think we sing that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. You see, those are promises. When Camille drew this picture for me, I've never gotten off the hand. You know that, see that right there? I've never gotten away from that, because that connection point is with God. And if you choose by faith to live with him in your life, there will be a harvest, and it'll be good. It's a promise, and it requires faith. I want to live my life with God. I want to live it with God. You know how come I know there's a reason for everything? Why we should ask the why of the behavior is because everything comes from him. Either you're with him or you're not. And next week, I want to look at Israel. I want to look at Egypt. I want to look at the promised land. What happened? Is it possible? You know, in our world, I'm so proud of our generation that's alive right now. So many of the young people, they actually take serious exploiting people. Do y'all know what that means when you exploit somebody? You're taking advantage of them for your personal gain. So, like, they pay attention. Does this product come from slave labor, from child labor, from indentured servitude, and I can buy this speaker for $10 because it got a bunch of slaves making it? I'm not going to buy it. I'd rather pay $100 for this speaker and let someone make a living wage. This generation today, they pay attention to stuff like that. In my generation, I don't think we ever thought of that. But you know what? It's not right. We do not believe in slavery. We don't believe in taking advantage of underprivileged people to make ourselves more. So that's what Egypt did. The children of Israel went into Egypt. They were honored guests of Pharaoh. 70 of them. God's promised people. There are only 70. They were starving to death in the promised land. And Egypt gave them a way out. Egypt had food. And so Pharaoh invited them in, and just, it was lavish. It was, I mean, Egypt at that time, they were the richest country in the world. It was unbelievable. And Israel goes in, right? You know, it's a long story. You can read it in Genesis and Exodus. And it's interesting. 430 years later, they're slaves. They're being murdered and abused and destroyed. What happened? They started out as honored guests, and they ended up with 1.5 million people, or 2.5 million people. So they grew from 70 people to over 1.5 million people, but they're slaves. You see, the same thing can happen to us, guys. Same thing. You know, it's like when you read Galatians, You read that. I've got that next verse. I got it written down. I can't quote it, unfortunately. There it is. Bum, bum. Come on, where is it? I'll find it. You know, Galatians 4:8 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves. We were all slaves. We were just slaves when we didn't know God. Before Jesus came, died, and rose again, the entire human race was slaves. But then we know that verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. He set humanity free. He set you and me free. We could dance and do all this crazy stuff. Yeah, we're free! And then Paul had the audacity to write, a few sentences later, Paul wrote this word, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Live by faith. Don't live like the world lives. Don't live with these pictures. Live by faith in your relationship with God. And he says, he finishes that verse, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We can go back into slavery. We live by faith. But I think a lot of the times we slip back into slavery because we start depending upon things of the world. We love things of the world. We depend upon them for our joy, for our peace, for our security, for our happiness. We start depending upon concrete things and we're not. What's your goal? What do you think is going to make you happy? That's what you're depending on. What do you have your eyes on in order to be solid and secure in the future? That's what you're depending on. I'm just like you guys. I'm a little concerned about the inflation, about the prices going up and blah, 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 right? It's like, Lord, but am I going to look at that? Or am I going to look at Him? Who's my source? Is the government my source? The bank my source? Well, what if the banks crash? I'm not depending upon them. Oh, you got all your resources in gold, huh? No, you don't get it. That's not what I'm saying. I am trusting Jesus for my future and my family's future. I believe there's a promise that Jesus is going to care for His kids. So no matter what, whatever situation you're in, whatever your hard thing you're going through, are you going to trust it or are you going to trust Him? It's a choice. Self-life is dangerous. Self-life will kill you. We're not going to go. I've got, next week we do it. I'm preaching. Two words. First word sounds like Sith. Y'all got it? Second word sounds like nod. What's the key to your future, your life, your destiny, your joy, your purpose? With God. With God. That's it? I'm sorry it's so simple. We're not smart enough to do anything else. I want to be like Jesus. He was with God. He was with God. The Word was with God. And God brought life to the world. When you're with God, God can bring life to the world. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Come on up, Peter. You know, I was thinking when Peter was worshiping with the flag over there a while ago, I was thinking he's the only one worshiping with the flag. But you guys didn't know you had to have an engineer's driver's license before they let you have one of those flags in here. So if you're not a trained engineer, whatever, you got a license? Good, thank God. If you're not a trained engineer, you get no flag, you get no pole, because we don't want you poking people's eyes out. Even with God, we don't want you poking people's eyes out, so don't do that. This morning, I believe the Lord wants to set us free. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low. There's no obstacle greater than His love? Are you living by works? God, if I just do enough, if I just give enough, if I just serve You enough, I'll get what I want, which will make me happy. That's idolatry. Jesus wants you to love Him and to have faith, to believe that loving Him will meet all of your needs. And then you'll see, you'll have a power beyond anything this world can touch. So this morning, if you're facing one of those walls, if you're facing one of those obstacles, we're going to have some people down here in front that want to pray with you. Jesus wants to beat that. He wants to break that thing in your life, because He's trustworthy. Put Him to the test. When things are hard, put Him to the test. Trust Him. Try Him. He's able. If things are going good, put Him to the test. He'll be better. You see, next week we're going to talk about some more of that in detail. But today, I just think, let's all stand up if y'all don't mind. Our keyboard player is wearing square-toed cowboy boots. It's just a little weird up here. Lisa. I don't know what happened. We lost Lisa, we got Peter. It's okay. This morning, I think I can't find the right words, so I've been stumbling around with this for 3 or 4 minutes, just talking to fill space, but so give me a second to find the words. Just, if you don't mind, just close your eyes and let's just wait on Him a second. With your eyes closed, what is it in your life, what is it that you need or that you want to happen or that you want? What is it that would make you happy? What needs to happen for you to be happy? Now, Jesus, I want you to take that to Him. Jesus, would you speak to each one of us this morning? Is that what would make me happy? So God, would you just show each of us this morning where we're stuck? Ask the Lord, where am I stuck? Now God, ask that you would begin to show us the why of the behavior. God, you begin to show us what the real reasons are, what's really going on inside of our hearts. So Jesus, I just thank you that you won't leave us as orphans, you won't leave us drowning in the depths of the sea, God, but that you lift us up. So God, I pray for my friends today, and myself included, all of us, that we would begin to see deeper beyond the physical stuff that John was talking about, the things of this world. God, that we'd be a people that lives far, way far above and beyond any of the concrete realities that we live in. that Jesus, you would be the lifter of our hearts. You'd be the lifter of our faces, our countenance. That God, your peace would reign inside of every single heart here as we choose to live with you. God, I ask that you would rearrange our goals, that you would line up our thoughts, that we could all be like Stephen. Jesus, that even when the stones are ripping us apart, our eyes are fixed on you. God, I believe that's how you're changing the world through your children. God, we want to be those people that rise above the world, that offer hope to the broken, hope to the fatherless, hope to the downtrodden, God. God, we want to be a people who offer hope, that you really are the hope of the world. You're a light. You're the light of the world. So Jesus, this morning, give us courage. I ask that anybody here that needs help, God, that needs help getting through this, that you'd give them courage, God, to ask for help, to come to you. Amen. So we have some prayer teams up here that would love to pray with you. And sometimes when something is really hard, it's hard to see on your own. You need another Jesus person with you. Amen. So take advantage of this. And God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. We're done. Thank you, Art.